God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the dead.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes to the morning.
God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the third chapter. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until a time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. You have put more joy in my heart
than any other rain on my brow.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress.
Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin.
Ponder in your own hearts.
Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us some good?
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart
than they have when they remain on my ground.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, may be dwell in safety.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the first chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible. Father, by whom all things were
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to begin this morning with this from the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In this text, Jesus, risen from the dead, is talking with people who had walked with him, who had talked with him, who had eaten with him. But Jesus had died. And now they had to deal with it. When the women who first went to the tomb came back and told the 11 disciples that the tomb was empty, these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. Do you blame them? Nothing like that had ever happened before or since. What would you do in their situation? It's hard, perhaps impossible, for us to truly understand. But to give you kind of a hint, the first commercial computer went into operation in 1951. Who would have imagined then that today you can fit a device in your shirt pocket that has more computing power than that room-sized computer? Can you comprehend all of that? It's amazing. Do you understand all the underlying technology, the hardware, the software, the networks? No, but you live with it. You use it, even if you don't understand. But this, God in human form, dying and then rising from the grave, that is far more amazing, far, far more incomprehensible. It is a mystery. It was a mystery then, it is a mystery now. A lot happened that day. Luke tells us that on the morning of the resurrection, in spite of his doubts, Peter rose and ran to the tomb. He found it empty, and he went home marveling at what had happened. And while Peter was marveling, two men had decided to get out of Jerusalem. That made sense. If the Romans decided that Jesus was an insurrectionist, then his followers would be next on Rome's hit list. But those two men met a stranger on the road. And that stranger explained everything that had happened over the past 3 days. And how it had been proclaimed in Scripture. It was Jesus himself who told them this. But they didn't recognize him until he broke bread. Ponder that. After that, those two men went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them, who gathered with them, and told them about what had happened. Should that have been enough? Maybe. But as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." That must have been terrifying. Some of those in that closed room had watched Jesus draw his last breath. They had at least heard that he had been buried. And some of them had seen the empty tomb, but they were not quite sure what that all meant. Now Jesus was there. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He was alive and speaking to them, reminding them of all that he had taught them, and how the things that they were seeing were the fulfillment of Scripture. It was a lot to take in. But they should have seen it. Should they have seen it coming? I'm going to suggest to you that the ones who already believed, who really believed, were the Jews. They understood the threat that God's Son was to their way of life, to the sinful life that they did not want to give up. It's interesting what sin does to us. Now, I remember back in the 60s, some Christian groups were using these cartoon pamphlets with drawings that showed this chasm separating God and man. And it probably won't surprise you that in these pamphlets, Jesus was the bridge over that chasm. That, of course, is not the way things really are. There is a chasm, but sinners are at the bottom, hiding in the dark, because our sinful nature doesn't want to have anything to do with God. We want to keep him, the sinful nature wants to keep him as far away as possible. I think the Pharisees knew that. That's why they did everything they possibly could to put out the light. But no one, not the Jews, not the disciples, no one expected what God did. Now they should have. As Jesus said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Scripture has been shown to be true. But Jesus didn't stop with that. Listen to what he said next. That repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus came to save those who are lost, those who are hiding at the bottom of the chasm, that chasm of sin and death. He died so the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. He came to reconcile all of creation to himself. God is the source of all good things. Now, he could have approached us by performing these incredible miracles all day, every day. And you might expect me now to say, so that everyone will believe. Well, except that's not how it works. First of all, because those who hate God will believe anything before they believe God. That was true of the Egyptians before the Exodus. And we don't have to look very hard to see it in our own day. And two, because God has and has always used human agents to declare his kingdom. As Paul wrote, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That has been true from the beginning. He gave Adam dominion over all creation. He instructed Noah how to build an ark. He made Joseph a ruler in Egypt. He made Moses a great leader. He made David a renowned and beloved king. He gave us his prophets. He gives us men to declare his word in our presence. And he even became one of us to walk with us. Why? So that we can live as his children. So that we too can proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. We, the church, have inherited that witness of the apostles. We, the church, now speak his word in a broken world. We, the church, now call that world to repentance. We, the church, now offer forgiveness to all who repent. In all this, we are Christ's hands and voices in this world as we wait for our own resurrection into the glory, into the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, in your presence we find fullness of joy. And by your right hand, Christ Jesus, you win and deliver peace forevermore. Amid this world's sin and sorrows, give us peace in the knowledge of his salvation and confident hope in the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the incarnation of your Son, and the reconciliation of his cross, you have made us your children and gathered us into your holy church. Sustain the preaching of your holy word and its message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name, among us and all the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy, give peace, Lord, to our homes. And enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve our nation and its leaders, especially our president and our governor. Preserve order and decency in this fallen world by their hands and restrain the sins and deceptions of the lawless, that we may practice righteousness while awaiting the eternal peace promised in Christ's wounds alone. Look with mercy also on all religions of the world beset with conflict and unrest, especially Gaza, Haiti, and the Ukraine. Protect the innocent among them, restore peace, and grant the comfort of your gospel. Lord, in your mercy. God of all comfort, you have compassion on those who are afflicted. remember and have mercy on Amara, Dick, Sue, Mark, Diane, Mike, Marilyn, Ann, Jared, Donna, Mark, Ed, Agatha, Kay, Doug and Pam, and all those who need your healing and deliverance. Support Donna, Anita, Georgia, Barbara, Ruth, Joan, Ed, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea. And comfort Steve and Cindy. And all who are homebound or in nursing homes, that they might spend their days as their dearly loved and faithful children. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by your Son's crucifixion, all sins have been blotted out. Send us now the blessed refreshment of his bodily presence in the sacrament of the altar, and make us fit partakers in repentance for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forevermore praising you and saying, Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, given for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today comes from the book of Isaiah, starting at chapter 12 with the first verse. "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let it be known in all the earth. You will say on that day, 'I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With you, you will draw the water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known to all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great is your midst in the Holy One of Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known to all the earth."
Thank you. true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you into life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
The Lord
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.